The subject of priorities has occurred to me as being a meaningful topic for today, so I want to talk about priorities. We're all faced with a lot of different priorities, and I want to see if I can bring some clarity to them. I think one of the deals in human life is that we are managing matter, solid stuff, energy, invisible thoughts, feelings, and concepts, ideas, space, that chunk of geography that we could be occupying, not only our personal space around our bodies, around our field, but also homes and cars and closets and dresser drawers and office space and so on, and time. So we manage matter, energy, space, and time. If you think about space, you and I need to be located somewhere. We have to physically be located somewhere. Most of us on this call will be located in the United States of America. And then, more specifically, if we were looking at Google Maps or Google World or something, we could zoom down, and we could see the places, the buildings that we're living in, where we're located. So for me personally, I'm in Naples, Florida. There are several reasons why I'm here. I'm located in Naples, Florida because the weather. I prefer warm weather. This is not what I grew up with, but having experienced warm weather when I was in the service stationed in the Panama Canal Zone and elsewhere, I thought, warm weather, that's a good invention. I want to be where there's warm weather. Before we moved to Florida, before we located ourselves here, we lived in Kansas City, Missouri. Had a beautiful home, but the problem was that the beautiful home's value was either remaining stable, steady, or decreasing, whereas every place else in the United States and maybe even the world seemed to be increasing really rapidly. So that real estate bubble that people talked about, that appreciation wasn't happening in real estate. So we wanted to be someplace, we wanted to own some property that was actually appreciating instead of lessening in value. There's another important part of Florida is that there is no state income tax. When we were located in California, both Marianne and I have lived in California. She lived in Northern California. I lived in Southern California. Huge amount of state taxes. In Missouri, Kansas City, there was a city tax, county tax, state tax, and we paid a lot of money in taxes. And just by moving to Florida, we saved a ton of money. So you have to be located somewhere. Why are you located where you're located? I think when you start looking at that and you consider, did I just end up here accidentally? Or is this really where I prefer to be located? And if it's where you want to be located, that's fantastic. So maybe your priority is to reconsider where you're located. Maybe your priority is to give yourself an attagirl or an attaboy. Wow, I am exactly located where I want to be. Some of the aspects of matter that we're managing, really on a fundamental level, is the roof over our heads. We need to have a roof over our heads. We need to have shelter. We need to have some place that we're located within, right? You don't want to be sleeping in a snowbank, or even here in Florida, you don't want to be sleeping outside all the time. It's like, I need a roof over my head. I need a roof over my head for various reasons, one of which is it's more comfortable, it's more convenient, it's safer, it's more private. Yeah. So besides security and privacy and comfort and convenience, there may be some other things that you like. It gives you a place to operate from. So if you're going to do some things, and you are, and I'll talk more about that, it's nice to have a base of operation. Like, where do you work out of? So you go, my home, and I have a roof over my head, and I have walls on the side of me, and I have a floor underneath me. So it's important that we provide matter, those things, those solid objects that contribute to our survival and our comfort and our convenience, and give us, I'll say, the tools and the framework from which to do other things that are going to show up on our list of priorities. You say, that roof over the head, that brings up another point. And for me, that point is energy. Energy. We need to be able to exchange our energy for value. Like, I got a lot of energy, or I wish I had more. But yes, we all have energy. And it is the exchange of that energy for value that results in pay, income, revenue, salary, commissions, fees. Any way you want to label that value that we consider monetary in nature, you go, yeah. If I have that, if I have money that I've gained because I've exchanged, now I can acquire that roof over my head. I can acquire those things that are going to add to my comfort and convenience. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's going to add to my security because I have this energy flow that I call revenue that is going to give me a sense of security. It's predictable. I know I have a contract. I know I have these relationships. I know I have these skills that I can contribute. I can cause this flow of value, that energy from me to others and from others to me in the form of pay, promotions, encouragements, relationships. If we could only do things for money, we would really, really be struggling. Because while money is important to the things I'm talking about here, and it is a priority, that if we only did things for money but we couldn't talk to anybody, we couldn't see the results of our energy exchanges, we couldn't see how we improved situations, people's lives, make things better. If we couldn't get that kind of feedback, we would be starving for those energy forms. You say, wow, I got a lot of money, but, and if we couldn't go out and spend that money by interacting with people, we couldn't exchange energy with people in the grocery store or restaurants or wherever, you'd go, oh, wow, I'm really being deprived of these relationships in which I can exchange energy. Exchanging energy is a priority. Holding back is something that we do because I'm protecting myself. I might not do it right. I might get criticized. I might experience emotional pain or fill in the blank. It's like, yep, we might. That is true. But it is that exchange that is so valuable to our growth and pretty much the satisfaction of all of our priorities over time. Which brings me to time. Time. I say this to myself on a regular basis, and I hear it even more frequently. I don't have enough time. There's not enough time. How do I get 26 hours in a day? How do I reduce the amount of time I sleep? Being able to manage time to do the things that are really our priority and not just busy work, not just convenient and easy to do, not just distraction, not just flight, but in fact are valuable. How do we do that? And that's the whole point of this talk, is to talk about the priorities that we have to zero in on so we're doing the stuff that's going to produce the results that we desire. And we'll skip a lot of the stuff that we do because it's easy and it's right in front of us and it seems to be a reasonable thing to do. You know, let me straighten out my paper clips because some of them got intertangled and it's kind of, you know, let me sharpen my pencils because I might need one, you know, several weeks from today. That busy work is a trick. Those things trap us into squandering our energy and our time. So being able to look and make a determination, what's the best next action? What action is going to produce the biggest improvement and accomplishment and achievement of my priorities? That question, what's the best next action that will advance me toward my goals is a very, very good question when it comes to managing not only time, but our energy and our thought processes. You know that a priority has to be this: maintaining and repairing our physical bodies. A lot of people get tricked into the idea that other demands, other priorities, other responsibilities are way more important than you and I taking care of our bodies. Now, this is less of a problem for a man, in my opinion, than it is for a woman, because a woman is, in our culture, is encouraged, trained, if you will, to could you set aside your needs? Could you set aside your self-interest? Could you set aside your priorities and make my priorities or other people's priorities your priorities? And that means maintaining and repairing your own bodies. You go, ah, if I were to draw a reality as I see it in terms of a family, I would put in the center of that family the woman. And that woman is the hub of the wheel. The hub of the wheel doesn't function, the wheel doesn't move very well. So you taking care of you is one of the greatest of all priorities, not only for you, but for the rest of the family. Women who model self-care do wonderful things for their children. Ah, and if you've got daughters, they go, oh, this is how women do things? Okay, all right, I'm going to take care of myself. And if you have sons, they go, oh, this is how women have to do it and should do it and want to do it. They want to take care of themselves. Well, if I'm going to be in a relationship with a woman, I certainly do want to be supporting that activity of them taking care of, maintaining, repairing their physical bodies, having alone time, and whatever else is necessary. You go, yeah, yeah. And by doing that, some people are going to accuse us of, oh, you're selfish, you're selfish, you're selfish. It's like, yeah, yeah. You know how you teach people? You model it. You model it. So if you want to teach anybody how to take care of themselves, model it. You want to teach somebody how to be successful, model it. Right? And a lot of parents try this. I can't be the only one on this call with this. Do as I say, not as I do. It does not work. It does not work. Children don't do what we say. They do what we do. It's like, I better walk my talk. Yeah, exactly. Because that's what the kids are going to do. You know, for a person standing there with a martini in one hand and a cigarette in the other, telling kids not to drink or smoke because it's harmful, like, you can pretty much guess what those children are going to be doing as soon as they can get their hands on a martini or a cigarette. It's how human beings operate. We help us. We help everybody else connected to us. A priority for most of us is work. And I go back to what I was talking about, this energy exchange. Think of this. Work is a value exchange system. What work do you do? How do you? What value exchange system are you involved in? And really, this is an area we do not want to minimize in our own estimation. Oh, well, I only do. No. We have to value our value first before we market it. You can't imagine anybody trying to sell a product or a service and their opening line is, it's not that valuable. It's not that good. It's not that helpful. That's not workable. Why would we want to do that to ourselves? We wouldn't. Some of that is a learned pattern, and we can change all of that. And that would be a priority, right? Changing that thought process about our own value. We give value, and we get value. Make sense? Make sense? Ask a farmer. Yep. I give value. I put it into the soil because I know that's the great multiplier. This soil is going to multiply what I put into it. It's going to multiply the seeds. It's going to multiply the energy that I put into it, and weeding and watering and irrigating and, you know, any kind of activity that I put into the soil, it is going to be multiplied. wow, that's clever design. That's a clever design. I like that. I like that. You and I give value and we get value. Let's face it. You and I work in our own self-interest. You know what? So does everybody else. So does everybody else. We're working in our own self-interest. And the clearer that is to us, the better off we're going to be. This is not a problem. It is natural. It is normal. It's the way it ought to be. We work in our own self-interest. Everybody else is working their own self-interest. One of the rules of life that I use and I teach and preach is everybody acts in their own self-interest according to their level of awareness. Two concepts, self-interest, level of awareness. You say, oh, there was a burglar in the neighboring town last week. That person is acting in their own self-interest according to their level of awareness. They're not giving value. They're taking value. But predators and cavemen don't think in terms of giving value. We only started to recognize that idea when we started to learn how to farm. The introduction of agrarian techniques is like, oh, I invest my energy, I get it back, as compared to I go hunting, I kill something, I drag it back to the cave. Like, yeah. We recognize long-term relationships, including work. We're going to have to figure out some way to balance our self-interest with the self-interest of others. Now, it's not always going to be balanced. I'd be like getting on a seesaw that doesn't move. Hey, this is fun. It doesn't move. Yeah, we're completely balanced. You're on one end of the seesaw. I'm on the other end of the seesaw. You're on one end of the relationship. I'm on the other end of the relationship. And we're in perfect balance. Boring. No kid would sit there for more than 2 or 3 seconds as soon as they realized, hey, this thing is not moving. This is not exciting. This is not interesting. And they would hop off. They would hop out of that relationship. So at some point, you know, 60-40, 70-30, 90-10, 50-50, 40, right? You go, oh, yeah. Yeah. But if it's 100-0, that is not a good relationship. And when it comes down to it, a lot of our activity, education, for instance, awareness, studying, reading, doing anything to develop a skill, is we have the goal to increase the value we can deliver. There are at least 3 of us on this call that have undertaken hypnosis training. Why? Because we want to be more valuable and we want to increase our value. So if we've got things in us that can be modified or removed or shifted or healed through hypnosis, we want to experience that. If now we have a new skill, hypnosis, we want to turn around and go out and help other people increase the value in their lives, rearrange their priorities, be able to achieve what they want in life. Oh, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. This consideration of self-interest is really interesting. A lot of people will try to tell you that, could you forget about your self-interest and only think of mine? And you know you're on a seesaw that is out of balance. And when you can't make a change to that, you don't want to be in that relationship. You want to do everything you can to bring more awareness into it about the importance of that movement, that flexibility, but there's got to be some sort of economic or some sort of balance of self-interest. But I do want to speak about the economic issue. So if I said to you, what is in your economic self-interest? And if you were to answer that question by making a list of things, what's in my economic self-interest? What's in my economic self-interest? You would be doing yourself a great service. But let me tell you what it is not, despite what the ad is. It is not the credit card in your wallet. right? They say, if you have this, you're protected, you're protected, you're protected. But those folks that peddle credit cards, while it's flexible and it's a good thing to have a credit card or two, the debt on those things is not in our self-interest. You don't want credit card debt. It's in their self-interest. It is not in ours because it makes us a prisoner. It is a huge energy drain. You go, okay. Debt is not a good thing for very long. You go, got it. And whatever else is in your economic self-interest, we ought to be exploring that. So what's in your physical self-interest? What's in your physical self-interest? And you could be thinking about that and the clothes you wear and the environment that you're in and anything else, the car you drive or the circumstances for your physicality. You go, what's in my physical self-interest? And you can make a list of those things and bring them into focus, and then you'll have a clearer picture of your priorities. But let me say this. I'm going to say it simply, and then I'm going to delve into it. Energy is in your self-interest. Energy is in your self-interest. Move high vibration energy. Move high vibration energy. Move it to yourself. That's the starting point. Just like I was talking about the hub of the wheel, even those of us who are not women are still serve as hubs of the wheel in certain circumstances. And if we're energized, then if we're in relationship with others, we're going to be able to help them and guide them in this direction of maintaining their own priorities. Move high vibration energy to yourself. And here's one way. Stop correcting and start respecting. Oh, it's so easy to walk past a mirror and see a hair out of place or a zit or, X number of pounds that you want to lose, or the blouse or shirt, or what haircut you might need, or all of that stuff is about correcting, finding fault, and it's clearly not about respecting. Start respecting yourself. So if you stopped in front of that mirror now and loved yourself exactly the way you are, and you already know what you would prefer, that hair in place or whatever, but you don't have to make you wrong in order to achieve that. You can love you right then, and naturally those things will unfold because you desire it, and you keep yourself open because you're loving. You're not the saber-toothed tiger to you because you're not criticizing, correcting, finding fault, picking on you. You're respecting you. And when you do that, it becomes so much easier to do that for other people, too. You can look at them and be able to appreciate them. You don't need to correct them. You don't need to make them over. You can, yeah. Your range of behaviors that you'll find acceptable expand. And so now those people in your presence will feel safer because they know you're not walking around with a checklist evaluating, giving them a report of, this is wrong with you, that's wrong with you, and so on. And you can flow energy to your situations. Just whatever you're experiencing in any area of your life, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, career-wise, family-wise, socially, anything. You can, the energy you flow to that is up to you. You can move high vibration energy to that. I'm in the midst of reading a book by Wayne Dyer, Wishes Fulfilled. And so they have this quote, he has this quote on chapter one. He has a very lengthy lead into the chapter one, which I'm going to refer to in a moment. But this is a quote, and it's a quote from Neville Goddard. Health, wealth, beauty, and genius are not created. They are only manifested by the arrangement of your mind, that is, by your concept of yourself. And your concept of yourself is all that you accept and consent to as true. Just think, you can flow this energy to you. You can manifest anything and everything that you want by the way you think and speak and act towards yourself and how you feel about you. So before you can get to chapter one in this book, Wayne Dyer talks about a family, a mother and daughter he met on a beach in Hawaii, and the girl, college girl, just arrived with a paralyzed face, and he encounters them walking and then starts talking to them, wonders what happened, gets an explanation, and starts working with her immediately to change that condition. And when to net it out, it's a beautiful story. The mother wrote a letter that it describes it in detail, and so did the daughter. And the main point is, he said, no, this healing is already occurring. You are free from paralysis. You are paralysis free. It had been getting worse over a period of days and maybe a week or so, and painful. And that was, he's implanted that. Yeah, that's what you want to say to yourself. You are paralysis free. And he helped her. He sent her to a therapist that worked on her body, and then she went back to, I think maybe Oregon or Washington State, one of the northwestern states, and she had a tremendous number of stressors in her life. College student, finals, trying to get into college, needing a new roommate. She wanted to get into an advanced program, so her GPA had to be real high. And when you look at that list of things that were on her and she thought she was doing okay, you could understand why her system was breaking down. But she grabbed hold of this concept, this energy that she flowed to herself. I am paralysis free. And a short time later, she was completely healthy, completely paralysis free, because this is the high vibration energy she moved to herself. You and I can do the same thing. He and you and I, we all know that we are divinely supported. We are divinely supported. That's the source of all healing. The divine is the source of all healing. I refer to divine consciousness as the superstore. Capital S, capital S. The superstore. You want something? Go to the superstore. Don't fall into tricks and traps and go to, I want security. I need a credit card. I need this medication that was just prescribed or talked about on television. Maybe that's not in your self-interest. Maybe those priorities are somebody else's priorities and ought not be your priorities. We're divinely supported. Go to divine consciousness. You know what? When you really think of it, consciously, we do not know how to do so many things that are essential to us. Like, I want to grow. I know if I don't eat or don't drink water or don't rest, I can interfere with it, but I don't actually know how it occurs. When we were fertilized ova, I know how to grow. I know how to divide. No, we did not. Our mothers didn't know how. Nobody knows. No human being knows how consciously that to do it. We can talk about it for days on end. Oh, this is how it happens, and mitosis, and the cells divide, and this, and yeah. Talking about it and being able to do it, two different things. We don't know how to be nourished. You go, I'm going to go eat some broccoli. I'm nourishing myself. No, you're eating broccoli. It is the body's ability to take that broccoli after we chew it and swallow it. And the body knows how to digest it. You and I don't know how to do that. And it's like, I don't know how the cells in my body, the bones and blood, and I don't know how that uses broccoli to sustain my body. I don't know how my body knows enough to heal a scratch. I know I want it to heal, but I don't know how it does it, so I can't actually do it. So, who's doing it? Who's doing this? It's divinely designed. Divine consciousness is doing it. It's like, oh, yeah. So we definitely know how to do certain things. Move high vibration energy. I say, move energy. Move energy. Breathe. Walk. Run. Stretch. Do yoga. Dance. Oh, yeah. I know how to do that. And now all of a sudden that energy is circulating through the body and you go, I think my body is probably liking that. It's probably good for the muscles. It's the cells, the tissue. It's probably good for my bones. Yeah. It's probably good because it keeps energy moving, helps me stay more emotionally balanced. Oh, this is a good thing, moving energy. Make noise. You go, make noise. Yeah. Do like I'm doing. Talk. Speak. Record what you say, or don't record what you say. Just speak. Talk to yourself. Talk aloud. Say your prayers aloud. Sing. I saw a quote about a week or so ago that said if everybody sang 10 minutes a day, their lives would be totally different. Man, that makes sense. Sing. Move energy. I'm not going to do it right. I'm not going to speak right. I'm not going to sing right. I'm not going to be on key. I got news for you. You would be better off than holding back. Go outside and howl at the moon. Go out there. I want to make a sound like Tarzan. I want to make a sound like a coyote. I want to make a sound like a wolf. I'm going to howl at the moon. You would be better off doing that because within a matter of that 30 seconds, you would be laughing hysterically. Laughter is a wonderful noise to be making. It's therapeutic to an extreme. Like, wow, yeah. Howl at the moon. You don't have to worry about doing that correctly. It's like, I could be one of the best human howlers at the moon my town has ever heard. Go for it. You're not going to have that much competition because everybody is trying to do what they're supposed to do. Oh, I don't know. What will the neighbors think? What will, go in your basement. Go in your attic. Go in the garage. Go outside. Make noise. How else can you move energy? Make things with your hands. Use your hands. Write, draw, paint, cook. Hit something with a hammer and a nail. Saw something. Build something. Use clay. Invent something. Program a computer statement or computer program. Do something with your hands. Knit, sew. What's cross stitch? Do some kind of craft. Use your hands for something. Like, these hands are so intelligent. They deliver so much intelligence to things in our environment, and they gain tremendous intelligence, and they feed it back to us. Ooh, this is soft, this is hard, this is hot, this is cold, this is nice, this is silky, this is on and on and on and on. Using our hands is fantastic. And we could go back to the singing and dancing and stuff. We're using the rest of our body, you know. This final point, allow the divine energy in. Allow it in. Become quiet. Mary Ann said she saw something the other day that said, when the mind is quiet, the mind is most active. It's like, huh? When it's quiet, it's not noisy, it's not staticky, it's not monkey chatter. But now, all of a sudden, it must be highly receptive to divine awareness seeking to penetrate our own consciousness. Like, ooh, become quiet. Ask and expect to be heard. Ask and expect to be heard. I don't know about you, but I have Amazon Prime. I place an order, I expect it to be delivered. Every single time. I ask for it, and I expect it to be delivered. I don't place the order and go, oh, I don't know if it's going to be here. I better go stand out by my front door. I don't know, is it going to be here? No, I expect it to be delivered. As good as Amazon is, it does not compare to divine consciousness. And if you're, I don't know if I was heard, I better say it again, I better beg, I better cry, I better whine, I better use different strategies to get the attention of divine consciousness. That says to me, we need to be practicing trust. 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 I said it, I expect to be heard. I trust that I was heard. I know how this works. I know how this works, right? We sow, we reap. We sow, we reap. And we sow through the words we speak, the actions we take, the thoughts we think, the feelings we feel. We have been promised this support. We have been promised this support. Growth, nutrition and nourishment, healing, protection, fulfillment of need, work, survival, delivered with rhythm, all being under the influence and control of the law of cause and effect. We reap what we sow. We have been promised that. This is what we need to do. We need to stop denying the gift, which is that promise of all those things that I just mentioned. We need to stop denying the giver, divine consciousness, within us and around us, seeking to deliver everything we want. Our priorities are the priorities of divine consciousness. Our needs are the needs that divine consciousness wants to fulfill. Our growth, our healing, our protection. That's what the divine consciousness wants to give. Stop denying the giver. And the value of us being connected to that is as palpable and as practical and as obvious as the farmers need the soil in order to make a plant grow. I have a seed. Now what do I need? I need some medium to put the seed in so it can grow. We are that soil. We are that consciousness. We are that seed. And the divine wants us to grow in awareness in our relationship. It's ours. That's our priority. That's our priority. I would like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. See if you can hear the promise in this. And the priorities. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. Doesn't that sound Amazonian to you right there? We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen. If you'd like to hit star 6 on your telephone.